I want to begin with looking at Acts chapter 18, verse 25 and 26. Acts chapter 18, verse 25 and verse 26. Well, let's start with verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Much of preaching today, much of present day preaching, have a need for that experience. Because much of present day preaching is behind, is not up to date. But to be quite honest with you, most preaching today is just flat out wrong. They don't even have, you know, at least Apollo, though he was preaching an outdated message, he preached it diligently. He preached it correctly. I don't give much credit, and I don't give them the benefit of the doubt. Most of the preaching today that claim to be preaching, you know, the gospel of the kingdom, that most preaching of the gospel of the kingdom aren't preaching it correctly. That's because much of present day preaching is confusing the new revelation God gave to Paul with the prophetic program. They're mixing the two up. And therefore is preaching something God never gave to be preached. But if for no other reason, just to take the idea that most preaching, if you did give them the benefit of the doubt, I don't. But that if you did give them the benefit of the doubt, they're behind. They are behind in their understanding about what, and they need to make that advancement to the way of God more perfectly. Apollos was such an individual. He was instructed in the way of the Lord, and it's clear, it says, knowing only the baptism of John. Now, what's significant about that? If you look at Luke 16:16, I want to show you what's significant about the fact that it says Apollos knew only the baptism of John. In Luke 16:16, let's start there first of all. Something very significant about John the Baptist that is not always acknowledged properly. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. Now, if you look at Luke, now let me comment on Luke 16:6 further before we move on here. The law until John, the prophets until John. What does that mean? Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. But the key idea in that verse, the law having a shadow of things to come. The law and the prophets were until John. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1 and verse 10. 1 Peter 1 and verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired, and search diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. What did the law do? It was a shadow of things to come. What did the prophets do? They prophesied of things to come. The law and the prophets were until John. What's the indication there? If they were about things to come, John's ministry is about those things are at hand. That's exactly the theme of John's preaching. You go back to, I believe it's let's see here. Luke chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of, well, I'm glad I don't have to say these every day, Trachonitis, and Licinius, the tetrarch, and Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came in all the region, and all the country rather, about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now in Matthew chapter 3, it says that he was preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached. If the law was a shadow of things to come and the prophets prophesied of things to come, beginning with the ministry of John the Baptist began the fulfillment of those things that the law and the prophets talked about was to come. Beginning with John the Baptist is the beginning of the last days of prophecy. And you're in the emphasis is on fulfilling prophecy. Now, it says that John preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now, when it says that Apollos was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Now, there's two basic ideas about that. One is that you're dealing with the prophetic program, the advancement of the prophetic program. Two, that John the Baptist only knew Apollos only knew up to where things had developed up till John. Now, what I'm getting at there is this, just like the guys in Acts 19 following the situation about Apollos, you got a bunch of other folks here in Acts 19, verse 1, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. There you got another bunch of folks knowing only the baptism of John. Even in the prophetic program, Apollos was behind in this understanding of what had progressed up to that point. You remember, John says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But there come one after me that is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to unlace. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, each of these statements that are being made are setting forth the prophetic program. And as we see what is being set forth beginning with John the Baptist, we call that aspect of the prophetic program the kingdom message, the kingdom program. The kingdom program is just another facet of the prophetic program. But the kingdom program is an advancement on the law and the prophets. You move just simply from the law and the prophet into the kingdom program. And God initiates the kingdom program and the kingdom message beginning with John the Baptist. The fulfillment of it, the realization of it, is now the focus and the emphasis of God's attention. Bringing those things to fruition. Bringing or completing prophecy. Knowing only the baptism of John is to know only, in essence, the prophetic program. That's only part of the eternal purpose of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10, You learn that God, there's two aspects to God's eternal purpose. One concerns the heavens, and one concerns the earth. God's purpose concerning the earth is the subject of prophecy, the establishment of the rule of God in the earth under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what prophecy is about. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, notice that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He, God, the Father, might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. There in Ephesians 1:10, we learn that God has a twofold purpose concerning His creation, both the heavens and the earth. His purpose concerning the heavens is the subject of the mystery revealed to and through the Apostle Paul. His subject concerning the earth, His purpose concerning the earth is the subject of prophecy, that which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Now, not until you come to Paul do you have the revelation of the mystery. And those who had come into the knowledge of God's hidden purpose, the mystery, came into a knowledge and an understanding of the way of God that is described in Acts 18 as the way of God more perfectly. In other words, there's been a change, not just simply an advancement. You're not just advancing the prophetic program in Acts 18, but rather you're coming into the knowledge of a new purpose, something new that God is doing. And it changes completely how one would have understood the things about the prophetic program, remembering that when God saved Paul, it spoke of something very specifically. It spoke of the fact that God had set aside Israel and ushered in a new program. Though Apollos was instructed in the way of the Lord, though he was fervent in spirit, and though he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, he knew only the baptism of John. He knew only the prophetic program, and he was even behind in the prophetic program. There had been advancements in the prophetic program, just again, as we've already looked at in Acts 19, where the Spirit of God had been poured out. There had been a further advancement there. What you need to remember about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost is that that was not the beginning of anything new, but rather the continuation of something that had already begun. I would recommend you take a look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, beginning verse 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Therefore, the book of Acts is a continuation of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Now, in Galatians 4:4, you need to remember this in the light of what Acts 1:1 says here. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 17, "Think not that I've come to destroy the law. I've come not to destroy, but to fulfill." In conjunction with that, I suggest looking at Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." The Lord Jesus Christ is advancing the prophetic program. And he's advancing that part of the prophetic program that is focusing on the fulfillment of that which the law was a shadow of and that which the prophets prophesied was to come. Now the focus, now the attention is on the fulfillment of those things. Hence in Romans 15:8, Paul looking back at the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And looking back at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Paul relegates those things to being time past, not present-day issues, not present-day truth, but something that God has interrupted and moved beyond that into something new and different. But looking back at the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ as one, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Paul writes this. He says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." And so it's all about the fulfillment of the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. Jesus said in John 5:39, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." He is the embodiment, the fulfillment of all that the law, the prophet, and the Psalms spoke about. But that's the prophetic program. That's the issue about the fulfillment of prophecy. And much of what most people are preaching today, they're attempting to preach the prophetic program. Now, they get it all mixed up because you got Romans to Philemon in your Bible, and you got to do something with Paul's epistles, you got to do something with Paul's teachings. But rather than acknowledging Paul's writings as a separate and distinct body of truth, they try to link it, bind it with that of the prophetic program. And hence the confusion, hence the doctrinal errors, hence the church just being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine because they fail to rightly divide the word. They fail to separate and distinguish between the prophetic program and the mystery program, between Israel and between the church, which is the body of Christ. They fail to distinguish, to separate those two things from one another. God does. Apollos knew only the baptism of John. And sadly, there are those who, again, much of Christendom today is trying to operate on the basis of the baptism of John, on the basis of John's gospel, John's preaching, John's message. The theme of John's message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And sadly, very sadly, you know, you got sincere and devout men just wrong, teaching things that are just not up to date. They're not up to date, or, and this is worse, mixing the gospel messages of Scripture to the destruction of them that believe. That makes Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 a very significant and powerful statement by the Apostle Paul. This is a faithful saying. I'm sorry, I'm not quoting that right. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. The dispensation of the grace of God represents a change in the program, represents a change in the instructions of God, represents a change in God's ways, the way of God today. You see, Apollos was instructed in the way of the Lord, but in the prophetic program, he needs to be re-instructed in the dispensation of the grace of God. He needs to become knowledgeable of that and understanding of that, because that's God's message today. The message that he gave to and through the Apostle Paul. And that even the kingdom saints, like Apollos, like Peter, had to come to the place where they acknowledge what God is doing today. They could no longer advance the prophetic program. They had to desist and acknowledge the grace of God given to the Apostle Paul. Excuse me. You're moving from prophecy to the mystery, from law to grace, from the apostleship of the 12 to the apostleship of Paul, from the gospel of the kingdom to the gospel of the grace of God. So what do all this mean? It means there's new revelation from God in the light of which Christ is now to be preached. Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. There's been an advance, not just simply an advancement, rather. There's been a change. There's been new revelation from God to and through the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 16, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. New revelation from God in the light of which Christ is now to be preached. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's a new program. There's new revelation. There's a new message. A new apostleship, a new ministry, a new message. Salvation today, the preaching of the forgiveness of sins today, it's no longer the baptism of John. No longer preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And that message for forgiveness didn't change. In Acts chapter 2, it is still the baptism of John, but with one advancement, and that's the revelation about the baptism with the Holy Ghost. But Peter, on the day of Pentecost, men and brethren, what shall we do then? Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. Peter and the message prior to Paul for salvation, for the forgiveness of sins, was the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. But now, beginning with Paul, salvation is now preached through the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the preaching of Christ and him crucified. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17, Paul says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, not to preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin, but to preach the gospel, Christ and him crucified. Acts 13, 38 and 39, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, not just in his name, but through, you see, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin is preaching it in the name of Christ. But preaching salvation through this man is not preaching in his name, but preaching salvation through him. Christ in him crucified. Be it known, Acts 13, 38 and 39, be it known therefore unto you, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. That's why Paul writes in Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That's why he writes in Titus chapter 3, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Salvation is preached through the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:13, in whom, that is, in Christ, ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now, unlike the eunuch, that when Philip had preached unto him Jesus, And because Philip preached a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, the eunuch asked, when he saw a body of water, he said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" Well, unlike that eunuch, if you heard a gospel preached by Paul, you would never do what that eunuch did. You would never say, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" Why? Because Paul wasn't preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Paul was preaching Christ and Him crucified. "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed," or upon believing, "ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory." That's why Paul writes in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are you saved." You see, you're saved by what Christ did. That's Paul's message. You're saved by the blood of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. Christ and Him crucified. "For by grace are you saved, through faith, in that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." If you're being told today to do something to be saved today, you got the wrong message. You're outdated. Or you're mixing the messages. You see, Peter in Acts 2:38 would have said, when that program was in order, if you ask Peter, "What must I do to be saved?" he would say, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." Paul wouldn't tell you that. Paul says, "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood." Paul would preach Christ and Him crucified for the forgiveness of sins. "In whom ye have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." If what you're being told to do, if you're being told to do something today, to be saved today, then what you're being told is not up to date. It might be scriptural, but it's not up to date. It's not dispensational. And if you got a mixed up message, law and grace mixed together, you got a message that won't save you. Only Christ and Him crucified.